likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
The 4th of July. It's more than just a really cool Soundgarden song. I promise. It was that hallowed day when we, the peoples, told those filthy Brits, no mas, no more. We had new gory atrocities to commit, all our own. We don't need your help anymore. We're ready. Like a child. You know, you have a kid, he can't fucking do nothing. And then he grows into a man, and then he can do real, real bad stuff, and then that's what we did. But in a better, in a good way, right? We have bombs to invent. We have a nation to forge. So here's what happened. Now, I know if you listen to this podcast, you're a big history buff. I mean, honestly, it goes without saying. So I don't need to tell you about the signing of the Manifest Destiny document that sealed the fate and secured the future of America when we sent our emissaries from Alaska to King Agamemnon of Britain. And we said, uh-uh, homie, don't play that. We're going solo. See, it was like Wham. All right. Okay. This is scholars have often compared, obviously, the splitting of America from those putrid European dogs of Britain. It was exactly like Wham. The similarities are startling, frightening, you could say. You know, like you had, what was it, Andrew? Webley? Who's the other guy in Wham? There was George Michael, and then there was Andy. I don't mean to get sidetracked right away, but this is Wham we're talking about, so it's pretty important. So we got to, okay. Andrew something. I know, Andrew Ridgely. Right, okay. So you have George Michael, right? Obviously, he's the, you know, the standout of the group. Go look at a picture of the two of the guys. You'll always make the right decision, you know? And so George Michael, he's got the, you know, gorgeous, bright white teeth. Gee, I wonder what that's like. And then you have the other guy who's a little, oh, I don't know. Andrew Ridgely kind of looks like a combination of Balky Bartokamus and Cousin Larry. Kind of like the two of them just kind of crushed together. Now that I'm seeing this picture of him. If you just Google Wham, it's like the first thing that shows up. There's like a pinkish background, you know? Surprise, surprise. There's like a weird pinkish background, and then the guy, and then there's George Michael, he's just looking, you know, gorgeous, and then there's Andrew Ridgely, who looks a little, you know, less so, he's a little perfect strangers, you know, out of the two of them. So obviously, like, England is, you know, Andrew Ridgely, and America is fucking George Michael, you know, and we're like, look, guys, we had some hits. Nobody's ever going to deny that. They will play on the radio forever, but like only one of us can write Careless Whisper. Just one of us. I know that George Michael credited Andrew Ridgely on Careless Whisper, even though he really didn't do anything. He just was like, well, this guy needs some money, so I'm going to just put his name on it. He didn't really do anything. That's what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. And then, of course, George Michael goes on, you know, too funky. It's an underrated song, I feel. Speaking of George Michael, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, George Michael is a bad motherfucker, man. And this doesn't get said. It's very important. It's very, very, my lessons for Independence Day. I doubtful you'll hear any other Independence Day podcast so George Michael focused. But the historians all agree. I mean, I'm not telling you anything that Harvard doesn't already know. Here. So, okay, so Wham. We're back at Wham. George Michael, see, this is how cool George Michael was. George Michael, he put out like Faith, you know, and he's in tight pants, obviously, you know, and everybody loves him. All the girls like him, you know. Joke's on you. Little did you know that Dave has more of a shot with George Michael than you do. But anyway, moving on. So, you know, big deal, right? Father figure, cool song, little sketchy on the lyrics, but, you know, okay, I get it. Artist's interpretation, what have you, might be a bit illegal, but hey, moving on. Moving on with the groove. So then George Michael's like, all right, man, I'm huge. I'm big. I'm famous. I am famous now. What am I gonna do with myself? So he goes, he records his next album. What was it? Listen Without Prejudice or something like that. First video comes out. He's not even in it. They don't show him at all. They have a bunch of hot ass fucking 90s models. My dudes. Can we go check out George Michael's Freedom? First of all, on a completely serious note, Freedom, what is it? Freedom 90 or Freedom 91? I forget. One or the other. That George Michael's, that fucking rules. That's, I loved that song when I was 11 years old. I love it now. That's a great song. I will rock George Michael Freedom every now and again. Don't think I won't. Don't think I will not. And just the fact, I'm serious. I think this is so credible. That's the only word I can use. This is credible. George Michael had big time balls, because he's this big pop commodity, and you know, like, he's an image this, image that, and then he comes out with like his, like, he's probably never been bigger at the time. I don't know what you know, you probably think George Michael, and you probably don't think, well, the most wholesome thoughts as far as him, his name in the news, but at that time, in the early 90s, in the super early 90s, closer to late 80s than the early 90s. It was like super, super early 90s. But he was a huge deal, right? And then to do his big, like, next video and him to just not be in it at all. His picture is like nowhere to be seen. And he's like, you're not going to fucking sexualize me. I'm a gay guy. I do that all the time. I know what that's about, allegedly. And we love everyone here. And, you know, so that takes huge, right? That takes enormous gonads. He's like, no, you're going to listen to the fucking song. And instead of looking at me, shake my little butt around, you filthy broads, sexualizing me all the time, I'm going to put in that fucking blonde with the short hair and like the ice blue eyes. Oh my Lord. Young Dave had a conniption. Fucking old Dave is having a conniption fit. I'm getting blood clots right now. God damn, who was that? I don't remember the model's name. But I will never forget the face, man. That was a cool-ass video. And then the jacket catches off. Freedom is a great fucking song from George Michael. Holy shit. You think, you know. So of course, England, Andrew Ridgely sees George Michael come out with Freedom, and he's like, son of a bitch, that guy's got it. That guy's got it, you know? So then Henry VIII sent the Green Berets, well, the Red Berets, actually, to try to reclaim, and then, you know, obviously, I don't need to go into all that. I don't need to go into the Battle of Pompeii. That's, you know, that's a whole nother podcast, right? I mean, I only have so much time. And I don't want to overload you. I don't want to overwhelm you. A lot of this goes over a lot of people's heads, you know, this modern American history and whatnot that has forged our world so intuitively. So all you really need to know is Wham. That's really all you need to know. You understand the whole America English thing. It's like, okay, look, you know, you got us started. I give you that. We'll be forever in your debt. But we got to break out. We got to move on. Somebody's got to write Freedom. Somebody's got to make this video. Somebody's got to get Dave off to the fucking blonde in Freedom with the short hair and the blue eyes. I mean, fucking hell. right? And England's not doing my penis any favors. So we had to make do. We had to do the do. We had to do the 4th of July. We had to, John Hancock. Okay? He had to sign, you know, to a 5-year deal with the Lakers. Point guard, tall guy. At the time, he was like 5'3", 5'4". That was a giant back then. Are you kidding me? He could crush the paint, whatever that means. You know, his free throw, he could work on that a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. He's not good in the fourth quarter. But he'll get you there. He'll get you at least to the playoffs. You know, and then John Adams. Everybody knows about John Adams, you know, a great running back out of Arkansas. Good in the paint. In the red zone. A wizard. The man's a wizard in the red zone. People, don't you understand? Don't you even get it a little bit? I love when I was in school as a child, there was this period when I was very, very young, and I really, really liked history class. Back when they called, no, wait, I don't think they called it history. I think they called it social studies, I think, back when I was a boy, because the word history wasn't invented yet. Because I did my homework on papyrus. And I remember, I loved the part, we would talk about, we would do like ancient Greece and ancient, I loved Egypt shit. Egypt rules. Egypt is the best. I loved Egypt shit. And I loved like colonial stuff was kind of cool too. I don't like, it seems boring. It seems like something, I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was very neat. And I remember the John Hancock story stood out to me because when the colonists wrote the Declaration of Independence, you know, when they split Wham up and they said, hey, we're going solo. You know, I got this song. It's called Faith. It's like, it's pretty cool. You know, I'm still working out the kinks, but like the skeleton is there. You know, he sent a demo. So America sends a demo of Faith to Napoleon, King Napoleon of England. And Napoleon's like, sacre bleu, this rocks. You know what I mean? And Napoleon knows like it's shit's going down. So Napoleon and Cleopatra get together and they say like, yo, we're going to lose it. Like Wham, I mean, they know they're the Andrew. In Wham, Andrew Ridgely was hoping that George Michael would never realize that he was George Michael. Just like, you know, in the whole America, the colonists went off and then the king was like, oh, wow. I hope they never realize how fucking badass they are. Sorry. We found out. Okay. And then it was all downhill. It was all downhill for that, as far as that goes. But anyway, so it was a huge deal. America splits off from England, and then they send a letter and they're like, Andy, look, we had some good times, you know, you got bought a couple of sailboats with the royalties, the, you know, last Christmas song, you know, got you some pretty, you got a house, you know, that's cool, that's most of a mortgage right there. So I think it's time that we part ways, because I gotta write Freedom. I gotta go do that. I gotta make some videos where I don't even show the fuck up. That's how cool I am. That's what a bad motherfucker I am, right? And Andrew, you know, he cried. He was like, please, please come back. We're nothing without you. Oi, we nothing without you. Please come back. And then we're like, listen, sweetheart, I'm sorry. It's over. And then we went on to create the internet, obviously, in the great internet wars. But I don't want to get too far ahead. So anyway, when they sent the letter back to Napoleon and Cleopatra saying that we're splitting, we're leaving, right? Everybody signed it. The people there signed it. All these brand new, shiny, happy, brave, gorgeous Americans, 6, 7, 9 feet tall, you know, the giants, literal giants. And so they signed the Declaration of Independence. Here's the thing though. The king of England, Napoleon, he had really, really poor eyesight. He couldn't see very well, right? So all the people, this story always kind of made no sense to me, but it's kind of cool. It's probably not true, but I like this story. So everybody who signed the Declaration of, I mean, this is a big deal. You're saying like, yeah, we're no longer your subjects. Sorry about that. The king's probably not going to take too kindly to that. I could be wrong. You know, maybe I'm just vengeful, but that's not, that's bad news. So anyway, so everybody's signing this letter. It's pretty much saying, ha ha, fuck you. Here's the demo for Faith. We're going solo. And then, everybody signed it. Right. And, everybody knew the king had really poor eyesight. So they would sign their name really, really small because they didn't want to get in because they didn't want to get in trouble, you know? And John Hancock famously, like if you look at the actual document, I mean, I got it around here somewhere. I think it's propping up one of my wobbly tables somewhere in a stack of papers. But anyway, if you look at it, like John Hancock's signature is really, really huge. It's really, really big. Because like everybody was like, oh, I don't want to get in trouble. So everybody's writing their name real small, and because they know the king has bad eyesight, so they don't want to, you know, they're attaching their name and their futures to this document. So they don't want to upset the king too much. So everybody's trying to write their name smaller than the next guy, and then here comes John Hancock. Just fucking fuck this shit. I don't care, and he just writes his name all huge and clear, and it's powerful, man. That's pretty good shit. That's a brave thing to do. I think they found him and burned him, if my memory serves. I don't believe this story had a happy ending, but that was a cool part. Like, if you watch that, if you listen to that story and then you kind of stop there, good on you, John Hancock, but maybe not the safest decision. But then again, on a side note, it's like, oh, well, the king has bad eyesight, so let me write my name real small. Well, okay, I'm willing to bet the king can afford people with good eyes. If the king gave me a fucking chicken and said, can you read all these? I'd be like, yeah, sure. What do you need? You know what I mean? It's not like there's no other. It's not like the king's like, ah, this is too small. I can't read it. Be damned. We surrender. He's got people with eyes. Also, there are other people in England. I'm assuming. I don't know. I don't want to be culturally insensitive. I'm assuming people in England can see. At least some of them, 4 out of 7, I'll say, do have eyes to see. So I don't know. So that's a story from my childhood that may or may not be true. Wham. This is what's important. This is what matters. In life, we have to pick what we choose to invest our time in, guys. Relationships are ultimately important. Relationships to family, relationships to friends. There are only so many hours in a day. There are only so many hands with which to masturbate from. Okay? The moral of my story is time is precious and you have to choose your relationships, your investment in those relationships exceedingly, exceedingly wisely. And it may be brutal. And it may be horrible. Some might say savage, but when you get to a point where it's not working out for you, you got to make some calls. You got to make some cuts. You got to break up Wham every now and again. Freedom 90 can't happen if Wham stays together. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the lesson that America had to learn. When it kicked the motherfucking shit out of England. This is the lesson of the 4th of July. This is what I want to impart upon you out there. How much time are you going to spend in a relationship that no longer suits you? That sounds kind of selfish. Maybe a little dicky when I think about it. But it is true. We have no time to dally, my friends, because, well, I'm dying, and so are you, by the way, so waste as much or as little time as you like, but on this 4th of July, don't forget the sacrifice of George Michael. Don't forget his brave duel to the death against King Napoleon. Do not forget America. Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 139. The patriotism is slithering out of my balls, and it's all over the floor. Look out! Beware! Don't trip, don't slip. Don't you dare slip on all that independence. But I'm not here masturbating carelessly onto the ground, all by my lonesome heavens to Betsy Nosey's, sitting directly to my left, looking faithful in his freedoms, looking curiously cantankerous. He is the man of the hour, tower of power. He'll devour toddlers. He is the one, the only, the immortal Count Dracula. What it is, Count. What it is and what it will be. The floor is yours. Sweep it. Good evening. It's very good to be here today, Dave. I have a question about your monologue.
Is this your ask, Dave? Because we do know you have a ration, a quota, if you will. You have a one question ration per episode that you may ask of me. And Count, I don't limit you because I hate you, though that is also the case. My limit on your question is because I have so much wisdom, so much intellectual sensuality, we'll say, that I don't want to overwhelm you. I don't want to overburden you. I don't want to, let's just say, fill your chronometer with precious insight. I know it can be difficult to process all of that. So I try to look out for you and your best interest. I don't want to leave you scratching your head too hard. You know what I mean? So that's why I kind of, so are you going to use your ass day for that?
It's not so much a question as maybe like a clarification.
That's a technicality, but all right, I will allow it. I shall allow it. Go ahead. What is your clarification, Count?
Okay, so if America splitting from England is like, as you say, wham.
Yes, of course. I mean, I say that. The historians say it also as well. I said it first, but they, you know, they did their own independent research and back my claims. Yes, continue.
Right, okay, whatever. So, if the founding of America and the 4th of July is, like, faith, George Michael, and, like, freedom, George Michael, and whatnot.
Yes, good. Count, you're following along thus far. You're a little behind, but that's all right. I would expect nothing less with someone with such short, let's just say, intellectual legs.
You know all about short legs.
Excuse me?
Nothing. So, as I was saying, if that, the founding of America, was, you know, George Michael doing all the good stuff, was the Trump era of America, like getting caught in the bathroom, beating off for other guys and stuff like that. Is that where we were, like, just a little while ago?
I'm not going to take your bait, Count. I'm really not. You and your liberal mindset are what caused the Civil War. But that's a whole nother lesson. We can get into that at another time. All right? When Milwaukee was stormed by the Argonauts during the Civil War. But I don't want to get too provocative. Too quickly. That's for another show. That's for a whole another show. That's Dan Carlin actually asked me to be a guest on his to discuss that. And for the, I'm very busy. I have to clear my schedule. But see, Count, say what you will about Donald Trump. There's a lot to say. There's a lot of material there. I understand that, obviously. But you can't, you can say, you know, he's a childish idiot. You know, you can say he's a used car salesman level, like, con artist. You could say all of these things. But I will always stand for Donald Trump on one fact that I don't think anybody can deny, really. And I think it's something that's tremendously overlooked. And I think that it's something, frankly, to be kind of applauded. It's refreshing. No matter your thoughts on Donald Trump, you have to admit he's the most honest politician in the history, or I'll say in recent history, okay, in politics. You know exactly what you get with this man.
Dave, I can't believe you just said that.
Count, since 1983, you know what I mean? Everybody's known Donald Trump as a fucking con artist. Nothing's changed. Like, you knew exactly what to get, I think, because we all know the political song and dance, right? If you're out there and you get inspired by a candidate, gee, I wonder what that feels like. And you think, man, this person really, really is for the people. This guy is, or this guy, this girl, whoever, is really for us. This person is for, you know, normal, everyday, working people. They really care about this country. And maybe the vast majority of politicians go into it with this mindset. Probably. I'm sure there are a lot of people who go into politics honestly wanting to make a difference. They start out good. That doesn't surprise me. They start out altruistic. They start out virtuous. They start out honest, or as honest as a normal person can get anyway. But you can't get very far in the political game without getting a little gritty, right? You need a little bit of slickness. You need a couple of layers of grease on you to really make to get high enough where you're actually making a difference. There's a ceiling, and you have to be X, let's just say, satanic to get to the next level. That's obvious, isn't it? You have to be this level of corrupt to get past a certain point in the government. And the higher up you go, the more seedy favors you got to do, the more you got to bend, the more you got to wiggle your, the more you got to, get along to go along. What's the term? Oh yeah. Strangle prostitutes is what I mean to say. So I'll give the benefit of the doubt, and I'll say that the vast majority of people in politics get in with really, really good intentions. But reality is quite different, and you're not going to get high enough to make a difference unless you got a little bit of grit all over you, right? That's just how it is. These are shark-infested waters. You'd better be a shark. You're either shark or you know, bloody clumps of camel meat in the ocean. I don't know. But when we're talking about Donald Trump, you know he's a fuck up. You know he's dishonest. You always did. Right? And I remember when, before Donald Trump, even when what's his name was running? Who's the guy? Mitt Romney? I don't remember. Somebody was running. He was like a businessman or something. And I remember I heard when people with this, I never understood this. When people are like, oh, I think we need a businessman in the White House. Pardon? We need to run this country like a business. We need a businessman. Right. Because rich CEOs are renowned for fighting for the little guy, right? They just love the common man, right? And no CEO ever abused their power and is a, you know, money sucking, fucking vampiric, corrupted, evil, demonic piece of goat cheese, right? That never happens, right? We need a nice We need that kind of mindset. And I don't get it. But anyway, the moral of my story is, no matter what you think of Donald Trump, you knew from the start. He's not going to surprise you. It's not going to be like, you know what? This Donald Trump character seems virtuous and seems on the level. Let me get him in the White House. And then you hear all the fucking nonsense bullshit. And then you're like, wait a minute. I'm beginning to think this guy's a little bit of a crook. I'm beginning to think this guy's a little bit of a funny, goofy fuck up. Yeah. Yeah, you knew. You knew, and he never claimed anything but. That alone, in my book, is refreshing. Because you don't get that disappointment, right? You don't get inspired by somebody and their lies and their promises. And then you give them your vote, and then they get their job, and then they don't live up to their promises. That's a hard feeling, man. That's harsh. It is. I mean, I don't know what it feels like because I never voted for anybody, but it must not be too nice. So say what you will, Count. Donald Trump is the most honest, what you see is what you get politician in the history of this world or any others. I'll be conservative and say that. No matter what you think about him, you knew what you were getting. I don't know. I think that's a sight more honest than the typical kind of bait and switch. There was no bait and switch. There wasn't. You knew exactly what kind of Batman villain con man you were voting for. And that in itself, I like. I kind of like that. I'd never vote for him. I mean, I wouldn't vote for anybody, really, to be honest. Well, I take that back. Because I think about it, and I'm like, you know what? It's pretty crazy when you think about it. In the long, tawdry history of mankind, as a historian myself, obviously I know all about this. We live in a time right now where we can elect our leaders. We can elect our politicians. This was not always the case. For a very, 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 the fucking majority of human history, it's been like, well, this is the chief, fucking deal with it or else. Right? Can we agree that's kind of cool at least? So I think about it and I'm like, you know what, Dave, like you have this freedom and there have been wars fought and like a lot of people died to preserve these rights for you to pick your leader. And you're really not. I've never once voted for anybody. I don't even think I ever even voted for like high school president. And I thought, well, isn't that doing a disservice for all the struggle to get here to a point where you have some kind of small, teeny tiny say in the process? But then I thought, nobody's really ever inspired me to vote. And isn't it less respectful to just cast a vote because you can? Or be like, well, this person's not as bad as this person. Is that really worth your vote? To me, a vote is like, I am with you. I agree with you. I believe in you. My belief is not cheap. And I don't just want to say, well, you're not as bad as this guy. So here you go. I mean, sure, you might. I know I probably sound, I'm a dreamer, that's me, but to me, a vote, that means something. It means I'm with you. It means I agree with you. It means I believe in you, and I've yet to believe in anyone presented anyway. So until that time comes, I think I will remain agnostic on the voting front. And don't think I don't get offers. All right? Democrat, Republican alike. People saying, Dave, please endorse me, please, on your show, please, please, please. I'm like, listen, guys, I've shown you the way, but you must walk the road on your own. That's really all there is to it, Count.
Thanks for setting me straight, Dave.
Yeah, hey, anytime. It is what I do. It is what I do. Do you have a question? For moi on this, the
Independence Day Eve, we'll say. Independence Day Eve. The most sacred holiday, Independence Eve, where we exchange freedom fries.
It's time for Ask Dave. Then I, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave, any one question that you must answer completely and totally honestly.
I'm ready.
Dave, I was wondering, what is your favorite Michael Jackson song?
That's not what I was expecting on this day of pre-day, this eve of freedoms, Count.
Well, I figured, you know, your earlier thing about Vam and George Michael, I mean, why not stick with the theme of, like, 80s musicians and whatnot?
Okay. I mean, oh, hey, that's fair. All right, that's fair. That's fair. Geez. Okay, let me think. Favorite Michael Jackson song? Well, I'm not too up to date on the discography or anything like that, so like don't expect any deep tracks or anything, deep cuts from any Michael Jackson albums. But you know, there's some great stuff there, obviously. If I had to pick a favorite song out of the ones that I know of the man, you know me, Count. I'm an OG. I go back, all right?
Not Jackson 5. You can't say it has to be like a solo, you know, like the whole Vam and solo career thing.
Okay, all right. So we're doing like post, like BC AD type things, like, you know, there's Jackson 5 and then there's like sing. All right, I got you. Solo Michael Jackson song. Off the Wall. I like Off the Wall. That's my favorite Michael Jackson song. That's a cool song. I like Off the Wall. That's good. That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. Actually, the other day, I don't know if it was just me. Maybe it is. Or maybe it's just I've never really heard the song through, like, proper channels. Maybe. But is it me? Or has Billie Jean always fucking slapped so hard? I mean, the bass just hits you in the fucking nuts immediately. That's so badass. That's crazy. I never realized that until I heard it through my head. Maybe it's my earbuds. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, it's all right. I know. Hey, Count, I know what your favorite Michael Jackson song? Okay, off to a bad. I know what your favorite Microsoft song is, Count. I bet I know what your favorite Michael Jackson song isn't, Count. Man in the Mirror. because you know, the whole vampire thing.
Dave, you know, I'm sensitive about having no reflection.
Look, Count, trust me. The whole seeing yourself in the mirror thing, not all it's cracked up to be. Just take my word for it. You're not missing a great deal. Except heartache and, disappointment. Moving on. You know, Michael Jackson is interesting. Michael Jackson is an interesting topic of discussion because say what you want about fame, but I think we can all agree it brings out the worst in people. There's kind of no doubting that. Because fame is like a more fun type of power. You know what I mean? When you have political power, when you have money, and when you have the ability to kind of make things happen and you have the law on your side, that is a recipe for corruption.
Obviously, that's why we, that's why the whole American thing, while it's not perfect, it's probably the best that we have. Because back in the day, you had monarchies, right? And family, they wouldn't give up power. They wouldn't just be like, oh, well, we're done. Time to go get a nice little log cabin, a little Minecraft log cabin in the woods. No, they're going to be in power forever. And then they're going to hand the power over to their kids and their kids. And this is dynasties. You know, this is monarchy, right? Just kind of like families in power forever. And the whole American thing was like, okay, well, we recognize that humans are inherently corrupt and they will be corrupt no matter what, no matter how good and pious and forthright they start out, the song always ends the same way. So the best we can hope to do is kind of rotate people in, right? Like you get all greasy, you get all gross, you get all bloody, you get covered in dead hookers and whatnot. And then like you're in power for a little bit, but then there's a time limit and then you have to leave. And then that's okay. We'll just elect your kids. But it's different than a monarchy. It's completely different. There's nothing like that again. It's not just families handing power back and forth. No, it's completely different. Is what it is.
And this has something to do with Michael Jackson. How, Dave?
Because I'm sure he played in England once or twice. I'm willing to bet, anyway. I mean, odds are good. Odds are pretty good. Pretty good. Okay, anyway. So we can agree that when you give humans that kind of power and that kind of authority, it's going to get abused, right? My sole belief, I have an unshakable belief count. Well, I have a couple. You might call them the Dave commandments. All right. You know, nobody knows what they're doing. Everything's bullshit. Everything's a scam. And this is a big one. And the older I get, the more I see it. People will behave as badly as they can afford to. All right. I'm poor. I can only be so naughty, because I will be forced to pay some fairly severe consequences because I'm poor. But if you can afford to grease the wheels and wriggle your way out of problems, you will act as badly as you can afford. See? If you can get out of the trouble, you will get into the trouble to get out of it. Right? So, and I think that goes for everybody. That's like a universal truth, which is good. I think that's good because it's kind of hopeful in a way. You know what I mean? It sort of takes the pressure off. Or at least it's kind of like a, hey, you know what? So you fucked up. You were given some power and authority and you abused it. Welcome to the club. You're a human being. You're one of us. Like, yeah, we all fuck up, right? It's just a matter of how badly can you afford to fuck up without getting sent to the fucking pen. All right. And that's about it. It's simple. It's incredibly simple. And there's kind of a beauty in that simplicity. Kind of, I don't know. It's sort of, to me, it sounds hopeful. Maybe I'm just a very bleak person that sounds hopeful, but fame and celebrity is similar, right? I mean, it's not like political power is a little bit different, but it's still kind of, you know, it's celebrity and fame is the fun. It's fun power is what it is. Political power is just power. There's a lot of responsibilities. There's a lot of boring shit you got to do. Yada, yada, yada. Fame, though, is fun power, right? Fame, you travel the world, you're famous, you know, you have power, maybe not so directly. You can't influence laws or whatever, but it's pretty fucking fun. You know what I mean? Pretty fun there. So it's two different kinds of the same thing, I think. And in the case of Michael Jackson, it's particularly interesting because, like, George Michael is famous. Sure, got famous relatively young. I got to sneeze, and I'm making that face when you have to sneeze and people look at you like, what's wrong with you? And I think it's fading. That's unfortunate because I had a really good one lined up. Like that would have felt really good to kind of let out. Isn't sneezing like the second most pleasurable thing a human can experience? There's like a, it's like getting off is like number one, and then sneezing is like the second most. I don't know. I'm gonna pause this and blow my nose real quick because it's backing up into my eyes. So I'll be right with you to talk about Michael Jackson and George Michael. I'll return shortly. I mean, you know, like this 4th of July, when families are sitting around campfires, roasting marshmallows and setting off fireworks, and the debate rages who the fuck would win in a fight between George Michael and Michael Jackson. I mean, it's tough. It's a toughie. I mean, you think, well, I don't know. I'd probably assume George Michael would have like the weight advantage. I don't know who's taller. Actually, let's do the tail of the tape between the two. This is so interesting. This is fascinating to me. How tall was Michael Jackson? He's 5'9". All right. 5'9". How tall was George Michael? Ooh, 6 feet. Uh-oh. George has got the height advantage. You know, probably a reach advantage. But I don't know. Mike looked kind of lanky. I don't know. Michael Jackson did have the Moonwalker video game where he would fight and he would dance with zombies and stuff like that and make him pass out from zombie exhaustion, ? But it did exist. It did happen. So, I mean, I don't really know about that. You think it's obvious George Mike, Mikey might be a little shrewd in the ring. I don't know. But this, my friends, is for historians to decide. But anyway, fame. Ain't it a bitch? George Michael, say what you will, was famous at a pretty young age, right? And that sucks. That's bad. Because when you're young, when you're that young, that's your time to make mistakes. Hopefully, you don't do anything that'll get you sent to, you know, Oz, right? Everybody's gonna fuck up, but hopefully you can kind of tamp it down where you don't get in too much trouble, where you don't get into life. Like, you wanna fuck up. You want to. Because fucking up comes with some very precious lessons. So you want to fuck up enough where you learn the very important lessons that are going to help you later on. But there is a point where you could fuck up too hard and end up really, really affecting your life, where it's like more so than just learning a lesson. You learn how to, you know, wash the Aryan Brotherhood's boots with your tongue. You don't want to learn those lessons. Those are hard lessons. Trust me on that. But, you do want to fuck up a little bit because that's your time to see. And I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but that's why, that's reason number 87, where of why we're in such a predicament nowadays. Because when you're young and you're supposed to make all your mistakes and you're supposed to learn from them and you're supposed to become a fully cooked, fully grown person, and you know, sure, there are things that you learn from. There are mistakes that you do, but they're not held against you for the rest of your life unless everyone has a camera phone, everyone's cataloging every single tweet you say, every single thing out of your mouth is being cataloged and recorded by somebody somewhere out there just hoping and waiting that you get famous so they can throw it in your face and wreck your life. Nowadays, that leeway to fuck up, that leeway to make mistakes, that leeway to learn from your life's experiences, mishaps, and missteps, that no longer exists. And now you're just punished for it continually. And this is a bad way to go, guys. This is a super bad way to go, but it is what it is. All I can do is be grateful that I did the majority of my fuck-ups pre-internet. So take that. Take that. Back to Michael Jackson. George Michael had some kind of normal life, I'm assuming, right?
He had some kind of anonymity. He was famous when he was young, yes, but at least he had a childhood. I'm assuming, right? Michael Jackson was famous as a boy, as a child. All right, hold on. Let me look up something here. How old was George Michael in Wham? This tells me nothing. Okay, wrong question. How old was Oh, Jesus Christ. No, it's fucking ridiculous. What age of join? Okay, that's what I wanted. Okay. Michael Jackson made his professional debut at the age of 6 in 1964 with his elder brothers. Okay. A, it's child abuse. B, 6 years old. At least George Michael, he had to have been, what, over 20 when he was in, I don't think he was like a teenager in Wham, was he? He had fucking facial stubble, but I think he's Greek, so that kind of makes sense. They start when they're 11, you know, full beards by the time their bar mitzvah comes around. But anyway. Practically dwarves, but I'm not being racist. I'm not being racist against Greeks. Anyway, 6. Michael Jackson was famous since he was 6 years old. And people talk about how weird Michael Jackson was, how he was getting these odd surgeries, doing these odd things to himself, and other, let's just say, questionable behaviors. I personally am shocked at how normal he was, because he was famous at 6. What were you doing at 6? Can you imagine being famous, worldwide famous, from the time you were 6 years old? I think the fact that Michael Jackson wasn't Jack the Ripper is a miracle. Like, wait, you mean to tell me he just wanted to buy the Elephant Man's bones? That's it? Oh, God, thank God he grew up to be normal. Or as normal as you can expect him to. Famous from age 6, guys. Give the man some space. Give him some leeway, all right? Look, this is going to maybe be a bit provocative, perhaps a bit insensitive. But if he was only touching kids' butts as opposed to strangling them, allegedly. Don't want to get my legal team involved in things, but you see what I'm saying. It's crazy, man, to have that level of fame at such a young age. You are in no, I don't think humans are ready for, well, anything, to be honest with you. But that level of fame at that young, how can you possibly? How can you grow up to be anything but a psychopath? You know, we lucked out. We lucked out that he was just weird instead of a Sith Lord. But what do I know? What do I know here on the eve of Independence Day? The dawn of this gorgeous, beautiful country. Sure, it's not perfect. It never was. It never will be. Life will never be perfect. But you know what? I think at the very least we can kind of agree. It's pretty special. I don't take that lightly. I don't think people should, because it wasn't always this way. A lot of people had to suffer. A lot of changes had to go down. A lot of norms had to be quashed. A lot of important, bold things needed to be done to get us to the point that we're at. And that in itself
should be remembered, no matter what you may think about the current state of things.
Do you have a favorite firework, Dave?
Oh my God, Count. Speaking of being a tyrant and abuse of power, the corruption. There you go. Yet another question.
But Dave, it's a special day. It's the eve, 4th of July eve.
Well, I do spoil you, Count. Firework, I don't know, man. I'm a simple guy. You know what I always liked? Call me crazy. I know. I'm wild. But I just like the smoke bombs with the weird, you know. Also, on a side note, I love the smell. I think they smell really good. I mean, they don't. They smell putrid, obviously. But there's something about it that's just like, I don't know. Cause it reminds me of like the Batman show from the 60s. Just the colors, like the super, super bright, vivid, really, really thick, undoubtedly harmful to breathe in chemicals and the colors. I just like the really vivid colors. I'm a simple man. I just like a little smoke bomb stuff. I've got several set off throughout the bomb shelter.
Yes, it's very difficult for me to see.
Huh?
Let me get my spectacles here.
Oh, whoa, 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 Count. Tone down the sex appeal, all right? You with the rheumatism and the spectacles? Jesus. I'm trying to have a civil discussion here. My erection's getting in the way of the microphone. Anywho. We're here to celebrate. We're here to think. We're here to ruminate. We're here to reflect on the glorious past of this great nation and the changes, not only to its people, but to the world, inspired by those events. On behalf of myself, on behalf of Count Dracula, on behalf, am I making up words? On behalf of Count Dracula, we should probably just start this episode over again, Count. This is far too important to have me lollygagging about making up words again. But we're pretty much done, and I'm lazy, and I'm very, very late. Even on for a Sunday show, this is like very late. Sorry. Sorry about that, guys, but you know me. You know how we roll here. Yeah, I mean, learn your history. All right, crack open a fucking book. Read a Wikipedia page, if that even counts as research anymore. You know, the battles for freedom, the blood spilled, the price that was paid, the cost asked and met. It's important. It's important that you remember your history. Remember the patriots, okay, who got us where we are. And that, my friends, is what 4th of July is all about. You remember when George Washington faced Spring-Heeled Jack in the arena in Philadelphia and stood over his decapitated corpse and signed an exclusive 4-year deal in the blood of his enemies. Like the part in Batman where Joker throws a pen in the guy's neck and then he reached up with his dead hand and signed it in his own blood. It was very, very patriotic moment. And ever since then, there has been peace in the valley. I will leave you to meditate on this. Dear noble listener, happy 4th of July. Be safe. Be cautious. Go check out the video for George Michael, Freedom. Just a great song, great video. Everything's great, you know? Pussy's great. It's cool. Like we can all agree, right? Red coat and American alike. We can all, not bad. Not bad. Cool video. Hey, don't they,
Do they still do the Twilight Zone marathon? I mean, I get it doesn't matter. I don't have television anymore. I haven't had goddamn television in 13 years. Do they still do the all day, the 24-hour Twilight Zone marathon? What holiday was it? I want to say it's 4th of July. I remember as a kid, I used to love it. When do they do the Twilight Zone marathon? It's New Year's. New Year's Day? I could have sworn it was 4th of July, but I guess I am wrong. Yeah, I guess it's New Year's. Huh. Anyway, Twilight Zone. How cool is that? That's a great show. My favorite episode is, Will the Real Martian Please Stand Up or something like that? Cool episode. I liked it. I liked that one a lot. There's some clinkers. You know, obviously, there's some of them, not that great. I have a general rule when it comes to Twilight Zone. I think it's a pretty safe bet, right? If the episode focuses on children, it's probably going to suck. Except for the one with the crazy kid who runs that town. That was awesome. But, you know, like, generally speaking, if there's a ton of kids in it, it's going to be horrible. Or if there is a kid in it, chances are they're going to disappear at some point. And then if anybody just disappears for no reason, probably going to be a little bit on the boring side. You know, just I find those episodes kind of time wasty, you know. But will the real Martian please stand up? That's cool. That's one of my favorites. That's certainly one of my favorites. I love that it's not bound to any. We need more things like this. All right. We need more stories that are like anthology things, right? More shows where it's like you can mix things up from episode to episode, different characters, different settings, different scenery, but with like a common kind of, you know, theme, a string binding them kind of all together very, very, very loosely, you know? I like that. I think that's really cool. I think that's a super good way to go. And they've redone the Twilight Zone a bunch of times, and they tried to do so in color, which is a tremendous mistake. I don't know why you would do. I mean, I think it would be great if they did new Twilight Zone episodes, but just film it in black and white. No matter what, I don't care if it takes place in the future, the past, whatever. Just do it in black and white. When it's in color, I just don't take it seriously. I'm sorry, I can't.
Did you ever see any of the movies, the Twilight Zone movies?
I don't know, when I was a kid and I was like, hey, it's in color, I don't care. There's something so romantic and beautiful, Count, about that black and white, that classic look. It's really something, man. It's really great. Oh, and the episode wasn't fantastic or anything, but there was a one episode where the guy, he's like really, really cruel to his niece or something. He's like a super awesome guy. He's like the grumpy old man I aspire to be. He's like the Cain of grumpy old men. And I just hope to emulate him. And he was real, real mean to his niece or something. And he would yell at her and stuff like that. And then one time during the episode, he called her. It was like the best diss I've ever heard in my life. He called her like something like he called her a walking example of nature's carelessness. Who does that? Like that's tremendous. That is such an elegantly worded fucking you just wrecked somebody so eloquently. I don't know. I love that. And then I think he died and then he like put his brain in a robot or something. So there was like a mentally abusive robot for the rest of this woman's life. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure she wasn't too happy about it, but it was a pretty fun episode, I thought. Anyway, so that was cool. There was that, you know, mental abuse forever. That's something maybe to look into. But on this 4th of July. So if you're out there, any robotics engineers out there looking for, to make a dickhead robot to follow people around, ranking them out, I might be willing to volunteer my brain once the end comes. Let me know. Give me a call. My inbox is open. we'll get together and we'll talk numbers. So Count, happy 4th of July to you. Happy Independence Day.
Oh, happy 4th of July, Dave.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go into my lab and create some illegal fireworks to sell to children while blasting some Wham. Happy Independence Day, everybody. Be good. Be safe. Be friendly. Be sensual. Good day.